Begin reading with the 12th verse and continuing to the 23rd. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And he went from there. He saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, what you're hearing this morning is the third version of the sermon that I've written this week. The first version is the one I wrote Monday, Tuesday-ish, when they were calling for the ice apocalypse this weekend. And I thought maybe we would all be worshiping together online. You remember COVID, how we did that together on Sundays? The second version of the sermon I started writing, and then I wound up scrapping the whole things. And this is the final version with some tweaks added in around 7 o'clock this morning. Some weeks are just like this. You sit down to write or to think or to pray, and nothing comes easily. You know you're supposed to say something meaningful, right? Something faithful, something hope-filled. But the words just aren't there. Or like you've written something that just keeps circling like an airplane over Hartsfield in Atlanta. It just goes around and around and around, and you're just saying, just land the plane already. Come on, just get to what you need to say. That sounds familiar, no matter where you are or what you're doing. You're not alone. For clergy especially, it's part of what we call the call. And you're supposed to say it like Morgan Freeman, right? The call. It's not just about vocation. It's not just about my call or Tay's call or Jeff's call or anybody else's call. It's God's call. God's call to each and every one of us. Our gospel lesson this morning is packed with movement. John the Baptist is arrested. Jesus withdraws to Galilee. He begins preaching and calling people to repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near to them. And then, almost suddenly, he begins to call fishermen Ordinary people, working people, people with nets in their hands who have no idea what's about to happen next. It all happens so very quickly. But what ties all of it together is calling. John is called to prepare the way, even though that call leads him into danger and imprisonment. Jesus is called to proclaim the kingdom from the margins. And then Jesus calls others. Follow me, he says, and I will make you fishers of people. Different calls. Same God. Now, when we hear that word calling, many of us think about jobs, about our careers, big life decisions. And for some people, that's appropriate. But I read something this week that surprised me. Years ago, as part of a Barna research project on vacation, they discovered something a little bit unsettling. Pastors talked about calling all the time. Seminary graduates believed vocation was central to the Christian life. But when researchers asked people outside of what we might call professional ministries, teachers, mechanics, nurses, parents, retirees, whether they felt called, most said no. Not all. And I know many of you sitting here or watching this morning see that you have such vocations and regard them as your calling. But most, not sure, not conflicted, just no. What they meant was this: what I do with most of my time doesn't really matter to God. It's just a job. It's just a life. That should give us pause this morning. Because many of us in ministry, no matter how challenging parts of it might get, rarely doubt that what we are doing is a calling, right? What we are doing is a calling. But many people struggle to see any connection between their faith and their daily lives, and they don't feel called at all. I've begun to wonder if maybe part of the problem is how we talk about calling in the first place. We often frame calling as a connection between what we do and what we believe. But what if? What if calling isn't primarily about doing? What if we think of calling first and foremost as about being? Think about it. Before God calls anybody to do anything, God calls them to be something. Before the disciples ever preached or healed or taught or led, Jesus called them to be his followers. Before they understand anything about what's going on, before they succeed or fail, before they get it right or get it wrong, Jesus sees them. Jesus knows them. Jesus calls them. They don't even know what fishers of people means yet. That comes later. down the line. For now, what they know is this: someone looked at me and said, "You matter. Come with me." And that's where it all begins. Imagine your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchild learning to walk. Think about those first imperfect steps. No parent says to that child, "Once you know how to walk well enough, then I will claim you as my child." Doesn't work that way. You belong first. The walking comes later. And when that child falls, because they will, they don't lose their place in the family. They're still loved. They're still held. They're still called. In the same way, God's first call isn't to productivity or usefulness or success. God's first call is this: you are my beloved child. You heard those words somewhere before? And it's that call that makes everything else possible. Maybe that's what sustained John the Baptist when his faithfulness landed him in prison. He knew who he was. Maybe that's what allowed Peter and Andrew, James and John to drop their nets so quickly, not because they had a 5-year plan, because they had been seen and named and called by Jesus. There was something in that sparked something deeper than fear. And this matters. It matters because so many people today are exhausted by doing. We live in a culture that constantly asks, "What do you do?" And once you're retired, they ask, "What did you do?" What they're asking about is more than occupation. We mean identity. Who are you as defined by what you do or what you have done? And if you can't point to something measurable, it doesn't feel like you matter much. But God doesn't begin there. God begins and God ends with being. You are called to be a child of God. Full stop. And from that identity, everything else flows. Over time, you may discover ways to do through work or volunteering or advocacy or caregiving, but most of the time, our calling shows up in much less glamorous places. In patience with a difficult person in our lives, in showing up for a neighbor, in forgiveness that costs us something, in love that doesn't get a round of applause. That is where the kingdom of God comes near. And the calling isn't just personal. The calling is communal as well. This coming Saturday, January 31st, marks the 60th anniversary of this church's founding. And in 2 weeks, we will celebrate that in worship together. But before God called this congregation to do anything, before God called this congregation to serve, to transform, to grow, this congregation was called to be something. We were and we still are called to be a gathering of God's beloved children. That means we're called to be a place of welcome in a world that sorts and excludes, a place of grace in a world obsessed with earning, a place where wounds can be named and healing can begin. Only after the question only after we remember and embrace that does the question of what is God calling us to do begin to make any sense. We live in turbulent times. The needs are enormous. The pressure to act is constant. And yes, faith does lead to action. But if we skip over that being part first, if we forget who we are, we risk burning out, lashing out, or mistaking urgency for faithfulness. Jesus doesn't rush the disciples into effectiveness. He invites them into relationship. And that invitation still stands. So hear this today, especially if you're uncertain, especially if you're tired, especially if you're wondering if you matter. You're called. Not because of what you've done, but because of who God says you are. You are called to be God's beloved child. And if you can rest there, if you can rest in that, even imperfectly, even briefly, you may find that in time, the rest becomes clear. And that is where the good news of the kingdom begins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.